Glory to God. Singers and players, would y'all come back up and help me on a song here? Aren't we glad and privileged to be in church together?
Yes.
This evening, these are rich times of fellowship together. There's something about corporate faith. The Lord said, where two or three of you are gathered together, there am I in the midst of you. Well, isn't He with us if it's just one of us?
Yeah.
Yeah, but He's with us differently when there's two or three or 200 or 2,000. There's something different that happens when we join our faith together and are in one place, in one mind, and one accord. Amen?
Yes.
And so let's take advantage of this tonight to hear from Him and to receive from Him. And let's enjoy it while we're at it.
Yeah.
Right? Guys, let's sing for just a few times through. Our God is an awesome God. Whatever key you like, and not too slow. Everybody stand back up. Just take off whenever you're ready. Is He an awesome God, saints? Let's tell Him so for a few moments here. Oh, Father, we worship You. We worship You. We worship You. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.
Our God is an awesome God. He made You from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God. He reigns,
yes,
from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Oh, our God is an awesome God. It again, my God, You're an awesome God. You reign from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Sing it to Him, my God, You're an awesome God. Amazing, glorious, good, good God. You're awesome, amazing, magnificent, glorious, wonderful. Hallelujah. Oh, great, mighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father too. Have your way. Say what you would say. Do what you would do. Oh, the glory be to you. Oh, the glory be to you. Your hand to heal and to do mighty works. We ask you, Lord, do miracles in our midst to your glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated, but don't change gears. Expect the Lord to answer that prayer. Rest of the evening, tonight, tomorrow night, throughout the week. What did we ask Him to do? Asked Him to do healings. Asked Him to do miracles in our midst, right? Do we believe He heard us? Is it His will? Then we expect it, right? So have your expectancy working all through the service tonight, all night after you get home tonight, tomorrow morning when you get up. You're expecting. Somebody say, we're expecting. We're expecting. We're expecting. Amen. Thanks, guys. Sure appreciate that. Hallelujah. Oh, thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. Who gives us the victory and always causes us to triumph. He is truly an awesome, amazing God. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Did you bring a Bible this evening?
Yes.
Open it up to the book of Psalms, please. Don't change gears. We don't become intellectual, heady, just because we opened the book. Glory to God. I want you to go to Psalm 33. You believe in God with me this evening?
Yes.
I know you guys have already heard a lot of wonderful things. And had a lot of good word put in you. A lot of good revelation and knowledge and understanding. But we want to just hear from the Lord exactly what He would say to us tonight.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And to be open to go any direction. Anyway, right? Might have a Jericho march. Might just put our nose on the carpet and pray for an hour. Huh? Might shout hallelujah for an hour at the top of our voice. Hmm? You want to be open, don't you? You got to be, if you're going to be led by the Spirit, you have to be open and flexible. No matter what kind of plan you had, you got to be willing to make adjustments. Midstream. And but before I read this, did I see some new steel out front?
Yeah.
Woo! Man, that looks like a real church there. That looks like, glory to God. That's a full gospel structure. What do you think?
Yes.
You excited?
Yes.
God must like you. He must like you. Do such special things for you. Man, there are folks all over the world meeting in little corners and little cramped, tight, uncomfortable places and places that are not their own and never will be. And God give you a great, big, fine place of your own. Cushioned seats and carpets and air conditioning. What should you say? You should say, glory to God. We're so blessed. The blessed people call us blessed. Huh? And you know, to whom much is given, much is expected and required. And the most appropriate response is the more the Lord blesses you, the more humility ought to be shown. And the more thankfulness. Because everything is by His grace. Not that we've earned it. Not that we deserved it. But He's just good to us. Psalm 33, did you find it? Psalm 33. I already feel like a different night tonight. What does that mean? I don't know. Psalm 33, and verse 1, Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. You know what looks good on you? Praise looks good on you. It's comely. Makes you look good too. You know, a whole lot of beauty is not external. It comes from the inside. You can have a glow about you just because of the life of God in you. Amen? And you won't have it if you're depressed. Depression makes you ugly. It does. Bitterness makes you uglier than that. It does. You ever seen people that's been bitter for years and hold grudges? It changes their face. Their jaw has a hard set, and they get all these hard features about them. Depression makes you ugly. Who wants to be ugly? Praise, on the other hand, and the love of God inside you coming out of you, and the faith and joy of God coming out of you, makes you look good. Makes you look, it's comely on the for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing to Him with psaltery, instrument of 10 strings, sing to Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud voice, for the Lord... The word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord for those who have eyes to see it. The psalmist also said, I'd have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Is there goodness down here, right now? Oh yeah, we're enjoying some of it right now. So a lot of times, folks, even I hear preachers talking, preaching, teaching, so negative. All they want to talk about is judgment and how bad it is and how awful it is and it's worse than it's ever been. You know, that's not true. That is not true. It was worse in Noah's time. Much worse than it is now. It was worse in Sodom and Gomorrah than it is in your town or mine. By a lot. Yeah, there's some evil, there's some bad in the world, but there's some good. There's a lot of good. I said there's a lot of good. If you look for the bad, you'll find it. If you look for the good, you'll find that. Seek, and you shall find. What are you looking for? If you look for faults, you'll find them. If you look for something to complain about, you'll find it. If you look for something to be upset about, you'll stay upset all the time. You know it? Because you can find every day of the week, every evening, you can find something to get upset about. Just turn the TV on. Watch the news for a couple hours. Listen to your neighbors and kinfolks gripe. You can find something to get upset about, to get mad about, to get bent out of shape about. You can find something wrong with your spouse every day. But if folks would ever take that powerful gift of discernment that they're x-raying their spouse with and whoop, turn it here, they'd get a revelation. That asking what I need from them, what did I need from them, what am I getting from them? What are they getting out of you? What am I bringing? What am I ministering? If you look for the bad, you will find it. And you will only have eyes to see that. But you can, if you look for the good, even in bad situations, even though the devil meant things for evil and destruction, how many know God is so powerful, if people will believe Him in these bad situations, He'll take that thing and turn it around for good. What the devil meant for destruction. So no matter how bleak, no matter how dark, no matter how bad, you need to put up your faith antenna and go, I'm looking for a miracle around here. I'm looking for something good to come out of this, and I'm not going to quit looking until I find it. And I assure you, you seek the goodness of the Lord, He will never disappoint you. You will find Him. You'll find His world, His work, and His will. What did it say? The goodness of the Lord, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Do you believe that? All of the stars, all of the planets, do you believe all of those were made by the breath of His mouth? I want you to think about it some now. There's a lot of folks on the planet don't believe that. Now, they can't tell us how it got there. But they're going to tell us it's not like the Bible says. Well, until they can tell us how it got there, how can they be so sure this ain't right? By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Somebody say, I believe it. And all the host of them by the breath of His mouth when He spoke. He gathers the waters of the sea together as an heap. He lays up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. Somebody say, He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Glory to God. Back up to that previous verse. It said, we were singing about it. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Do you stand in awe of Him? This is something that I'm stirred in my spirit about. It is a connector to the next part of His plan for us. It is a part of our faith in Him. In order to receive more of God, you have to get a revelation further of Him. You have to get to know Him better and more of Him. We don't receive our needs met and all the good things we desire apart from Him. We receive them from Him, through Him, in Him. He's more interested in our relationship and our fellowship than our stuff. And our results. How we get things is more important to Him than that we get them. Are y'all with me, friends? Don't just take my word for these things. Study it out. Check it out and see. I know years ago working in healing school at Brother Kenneth Hagin's ministry, we had some folks come through that were, you know, people from all walks of life, all backgrounds. And there were people that we prayed the sinner's prayer with. They were not Christians when they got there. They just came out of desperation. They couldn't get help anywhere else, and they heard about it. And when you're desperate, even things you used to despise and make fun of, you'll try. And so there was this one couple family. They were nice. They were well-educated and well-to-do, And they had a child that was very sick, and we were praying and endeavoring to minister to the child, and week after week went by, and I could just tell we're not making connection like we need to. Something's not right here. And I prayed and sought the Lord about it, and I saw something in my spirit. Some things is you get it in a split second. It'd take you half a day to try to explain it, but this is how I perceived it. Like, for instance, if this man represents God and these people were wanting their healing, it's like they were like this. They didn't want to get any closer to Him than they had to get what they wanted, and then they're going back to their life. They have no intention of serving Him or giving Him the place of lordship in their life, and that was a problem. Not that God is withholding from them, not that He's says they're not qualified, it's just your faith doesn't work in those kind of circumstances. Faith is of the heart, and faith works by love, and the primary part of that is your revelation of God's love for you and your love for Him. If our faith is going to work for greater things in God, we must have a revelation of His greatness beyond where we are now. Does that make sense? Do you believe God is bigger than you know? Do you believe He is more awesome than you have experienced? Do you believe it? Well, we must become more mindful of it. We must set our heart and minds toward this and allow Him to reveal Himself to us. And in that revelation of how much greater He is than what we've previously experienced, we'll come in to a new level of understanding, of faith, of grace, of anointing, but it's tied directly with the revelation of Him. Can you say amen? Let all the inhabitants of the world do what? Let them stand in awe of Him. Let them stand in awe of Him. Look in the 29th Psalm. Let's just camp here in the Psalms for a little bit, because this is something that was in David as he praised God and ministered to the Lord. These Psalms came by the Holy Spirit. They came by what we might call the spirit of prophecy. And you'll see over and over again, they are expressing God's greatness. His greatness. Do you know on the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Spirit and spoke in other tongues, it tells us what they were saying. In those, 17 different languages that they were saying simultaneously all over the streets there. What were they talking about? They were declaring the wonderful works of God. So many times when we're praising in tongues or giving thanks in tongues, we are extolling God. We are proclaiming how big He is, how great He is, how amazing He is, how wonderful everything that He has done is. And when we really believe this, and this is in our heart, it touches Him. It ministers to Him. Not that He has a giant ego that needs to be pumped. Not at all. It's just people who do believe that He is what the Word says that He is, and people that respond to Him, He reveals Himself to. He doesn't reveal Himself to everybody on the earth. Actually, the prophet said, "You're a God who hides yourself." And that's obvious to see. There are millions on this planet going about their life like there is no God. And if you don't believe in Him, then to you, it is like there is no God. Even though He is there, and He's as close as your breath, and He's the creator of the heavens and everything. You can pretend He's not real. If He wanted to, He could stick His face in the sky and go, "Hey, I'm real. Obey me. Believe in me." I mean, there wouldn't be an infidel on the planet. There wouldn't be an unbeliever anywhere. It'd be over. But then, there wouldn't be the opportunity of faith. People choosing to believe Him when they don't see. Like Peter said, though we haven't seen Him, yet rejoicing. Amen? We believe rejoicing. Do you believe even though you have not seen? And you can, by faith, You can touch this greatness. Oh, my saints. I've touched His greatness. It changes you. It changes you. There is so much. You can tell when sometimes people are talking about God, you can tell they don't know Him very well. They're too light. I don't mean you got to be depressed when you talk about God, but they just talk about Him like He's a fictional character that they read about in a book. You know, God this, God that, God the other. You can tell they haven't had much of an encounter with Him. Because when you touch Him and He touches you, oh my, what do you say? You can't say it. You try to talk in tongues and you want to cry and laugh at the same time. And sometimes all you can do is lay on the floor and go, "The Lord, He is great. The Lord God, You are great. You're so great. You're so amazing. You're so wonderful." Tears of joy. And when you touch Him like this and you let Him touch you, you're changed. You don't go back to life as you lived it the previous day. You see things differently. You hear things differently. And your faith comes up to another level. Moses was in the presence of God. And 40 days and 40 nights, when he came down, you know, his face shined like a light bulb. And you can tell, after being with God, things that people think is just unreasonable and impossible don't even seem hard to you. When the Lord tell him, "Do this and this sign will happen," he did it. It happened. He did this, that sign happened, that wonder happened, this sign happened, this wonder happened. But when we're out of touch with Him, and our revelation of Him is like book knowledge through somebody else's experience, then our faith is low. And our believing of what could be possible is low. Jesus communed with the Father in prayer. It was so real. He left that place and started going to meet His disciples and walked right out on the water and just kept walking. Y'all with me, saints? Why? You taste of the powers of the world to come. Because even though we're not there yet, He is. He is. Oh, hallelujah. Let all the inhabitants of the earth do what? Help me out, saints. Let them do what? Stand in awe of Him. What does it mean to be in awe of? I looked up some of these words. It's worth touching on and defining. What does it mean? One word means to quiver. To quiver. You ever done that? I've been in the presence of God where I quivered. One of them means to be startled. To be startled. You reckon God could startle you? Surprise you? Huh? Do you think so? Is He real, saints? Is He real? Think about someone who can create stars. Have you looked at some of the images we've gotten off of the Hubble telescope and some of these? Have you looked at any of these things? Your Father made that. He conceived it inside Himself. And He spoke it. This is not some Hollywood sci-fi movie. This is not some work of fiction. This actually happened. It's real. We're living on one of the planets. Who creates mountain ranges and oceans and galaxies. Should the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of such a being? And yet, on the other side of it, He loves you and me so much, He keeps track of every hair on our head and calls us the apple of His eye. Said out loud, Father, I stand in awe of You. You are awesome. Glory to God. Glory to God. Back up to the 29th Psalm. Is it okay if we talk about some of these things tonight? Psalm 29 and verse 1, and part of this we'll look at the NIV. Psalm 29 and 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is beautiful. God is holy and God is beautiful. All beauty that has ever existed came from Him, came out of Him. And when we see Him, one of these days, we're going to be before the throne of God and we're going to see Him. And beautiful, we haven't seen beautiful till we look full upon the one from whom all beauty has ever come. His bow is over Him. The crystal sea, the winged creatures. One of the prophets that saw Him said He looked like fire. From His loins down and from His loins up. One translation says, glowing hot metal, like molten. What color is God? He's fire colored. He's beautiful. He's beautiful. You came out of Him. He fathered you. He's the Father of spirits. You're one of the spirits He has fathered. And that beauty from Him is in us. And right now, the world does not know us, does not know who we are, see what we are. But when Jesus comes, hallelujah, it's going to be revealed. And we are going to be seen and known as the glorified ones. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says we will shine like the stars. Right now, we're baby, baby, babies. Just, I don't care if you're 110 years old, you just got started yesterday. Just. When the Lord says, my little children, it's not a figure of speech. To Him who has existed for so long, eternity past, eternity future, we've just been here blink of an eye. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when we see Him, you need to turn to the Scripture to make sure I'm quoting this right. Hold your place in Psalms. Go to 1 John. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Third chapter. Verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called what? We are the sons of this awesome God. Not just created beings like an angel. Not just servants. Sons. We don't fully appreciate what kind of love God has loved us with, that He let us be what we are. We are His eternal children. Somebody said out loud, I am forever a son of God. The world knows us not because it knew Him not. The world did not recognize Jesus when He came, and it doesn't recognize us while we're here. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We already are. Anybody in here been born again? Well, when you were born again, you were born a child of God, a son of God. And ever since that time, you have been. And you are. Now. A son of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, when our Master shall appear, we shall be like Him. We're already a lot more like Him than we realize. And when that time comes, well, let me just back up a little bit. How many in here would say you know you have changed and are a different person after walking with God and receiving His Word for the past 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? How many would say, I know without a shadow of a doubt. My wife Phyllis, myself, we are different people than we were 30 years ago, 40 years ago. We're different people totally. We've got different lives. Different people, thank God. What did that? It was the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in us. What if you just continued what happened the past 20 years in your life for another 300,000 years? Where would you be? What kind of person would you be? What kind of being? And let's not even say the same progress. Let's say here in another 100 years or so, you got rid of every hindrance and kicked it into hyperdrive. And you developed without any restriction or hindrance or temptation. What kind of being will you be? The devil tries to lie to you now, tell you that you're nothing. You don't know anything. You don't have anything. You can't do anything. You're a nobody. You're such a miserable failure, this and that. It's because he envies you. He can't stand it. That you and I are what he can never be. He wanted to be like the Most High. He tried to take faith that he watched God operate in and twist it and say it himself. And instead of getting exalted, he got pushed and knocked down to hell. And his time is short. And he sees you and I. And he hates us. He wants to belittle us. He wants to demean us. He wants to lie to us and convince us that we're worms and nothing. When even he himself knows the truth, we are the sons of the living God. We are what he can never be. We're not angels. We shall judge angels. Angels are sent to minister to us and for us. It doesn't appear right now what we are. We don't look so amazing right now. But give it a little time. Give it a little time. When he comes, did you read that last verse? When he shall appear, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? When we see Jesus coming in his glory, whether our bodies were raised and we're reunited with Him, or we come with Him, or whether we're alive and remain and we're changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, when we see Him, one of the most amazing things is going to be this. You're going to be going, ah. Wow! We're like Him. We're like Him. Now, a key to touching more of this now is this allowing yourself to be in awe of Him. This wonder at His majesty and at His glory. In 1 Corinthians, while are you there in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. He talks about in this these couple of chapters here that, and you read about these things in Romans and other places, that the Gentiles seek wisdom and the Jews seek a sign. And these two groups of people are still on the earth today. There are those, usually those who are not as educated, that believe in the supernatural. And they're looking for a sign. And then there are those who think they're smart and have education, and they've convinced themselves that there is really no supernatural, and they're very scientific. And they're looking for wisdom and understanding and explanations. But God is wisdom, and He is power. You don't have to choose. But you don't discern His power, His wisdom, with a intellect of man. You cannot figure God out. And this book, to an unbeliever, is a closed book. I don't care how many degrees you've got, how many languages you can speak, how brilliant you think you are. You can read this book for years and you won't get anything. It's a closed book to you. But the revelation, Romans says, it's revealed from faith to faith. Everybody say from faith,
from faith.
To faith. God's righteousness in the redemptive plan, in all of His works, is revealed from faith to faith. What does that mean? If you and I step up to a greater level of faith, we get a greater revelation of the great God. The less you believe in Him, the less you see Him and experience Him. The more you believe in Him, the more He reveals Himself to you. And the more of His greatness. That's why it's possible two people can live on the same street in the same town and one just be ecstatic with their life and walking with God, seeing amazing things all the time, growing, developing, just having a glorious time, and another be completely bored with life, depressed, no hope, then becomes sarcastic and becomes negative and sour and bitter. Friend, Christians who are nonplussed and jaded are Christians who don't know much about God. People who are bored with their Christian walk are folks who are not doing it right. I'm tired of going to church all the time. I'm tired of, read your Bible, Get in the Word, Whoop-de-doo, I've been getting in the Word for years. Oh, you need to tithe, you need to give, you need to believe God. I have tithed, I have given. Look what a mess I'm in. You're an unbeliever. You don't believe it. Now maybe you believe Jesus is Lord, but there's a whole lot of stuff in the Word you don't believe. And because you don't believe it, these signs, Jesus said, will follow who? Who do they follow? Those that believe. I had a fellow get upset with me one time about healing school. He said, wrote some real strong letters, and he thought he was, I guess, qualified to judge us. And he said, prove to me that anybody ever got healed over there. I said, prove to me that nobody ever did. It's not my job. But we don't believe that in our church, and this all passed away, and it's this and this. And I said, you haven't seen these kind of things in your church, these miracles and these healings? No. I said, isn't that interesting? You don't preach on it. You don't believe it. And you don't have it. We preach on it. We believe it. We got notebooks full of testimonies in there. In the office. We are not called to prove to people that God exists. We're called to believe it ourselves and to proclaim what He tells us to proclaim and do what He tells us to do. But then it's up to whoever is seeing and hearing whether they want to believe it or not. And you can be right in the face of the most amazing manifestations of God and still decide not to believe. Miracles don't give you faith. Miracles will not force you to believe. It's always a choice. When people say, I'm sorry, but I just can't believe that, they're saying it wrong. No such thing as you can't believe. You choose not to believe. It's a choice. And it's a very, very serious thing with God. Because those who have some experience of His goodness, of His reality, and then they choose not to believe, oh man, they are shutting a door in their life that is going to lead to a bleak existence. And you got so many folks that are so bored, and they're so bitter, and they're so miserable, and they're not looking forward to tomorrow, and they're just not enjoying life. And if you're not humble, you want to blame that on somebody else. And so the devil is so glad to accommodate you. He'll say, well, it's your parents' fault. It's your spouse's fault. It's the government's fault. It's your church's fault. It's your pastor's fault. It's your brother and sister in Christ. They didn't do this, and they wouldn't do that, and they wouldn't help you, and nobody will give you. And it's always somebody else's fault. But it's not true. The truth is, like God told Joshua when He told him about the promised land before Him, He said, you obey Me, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Do you understand God is bigger than anybody that could ever try to hinder you? I don't care who they are. They may be the big boss man. They may be the king of such and such. They may seem like they got all the power and all the control, but they don't. Jesus, standing in front of his judge, Pilate, when he said, you know, you're not going to talk to me? You know, don't you know that I can do this, I can do that with you? He says, you couldn't do anything unless it was given to you. Right? That's a revelation of reality to a child of God. I don't care what it looks and feels like, God is always bigger and stronger. Come on, somebody said out loud, nobody can stand in my way. For the plan of God, the will of God, all the days of my life. Nobody. But now if you become convinced that they are your problem, and you can't do this because of them, or you need to do this but you can't do that because they won't help you, you get your eyes on man, you are stuck. Because you don't believe God is great enough to help you over them. You believe they're bigger, the problem's bigger than the God. You're not in awe of God. Can you see, if we begin to practice being in awe of Him, it'll bring our awareness of Him up, won't it? And everything that comes up will just pale in comparison to Him. Everything that comes up, when the greater revelation we see of how big and how mighty He is, Everything that comes up will just look so pitiful compared to Him. Somebody say, I'm in awe of my amazing Father. Oh, Father, You're great. You're great, great, great. Somebody say, glory to God. For time's sake, go on back with me to Psalm 29. Psalm 29, verse 2 said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And he starts talking about the voice of the Lord. Everything was made by His Word and by the breath of His mouth. When He speaks, it's like nothing else in the universe. Do you remember Brother Hagin telling about, as a teenage boy, when he died and went to hell? Anybody remember hearing him tell that? Amazing. Amazing. He died, and he said he came out of his body. He came out of the bedroom and out over the porch. Outside, he could feel the night breeze and went down. 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 He said it got darker and darker, so dark you couldn't see your hand up against your nose, and hotter and hotter and hotter. I won't go through the whole story, but he said he tried to slow his descent. He could see the orange orbs of hell in the distance, and he knew what it was. He was screaming, God, I'm a member of the church. God, I've been baptized in water. And he just kept going towards hell. How many know that coming to church doesn't save you? And shaking a preacher's hand doesn't save you? No. You must be born again. Right? You know, we saw some folks that had been in the ministry and were pastored churches for, I don't know, 20-something years. And retired in that particular denomination, and after they retired, found out they'd never been born again. And got saved and came to Rhema. Now, what did their churches get for 20-something years out of people not even, pastors not even born again? I know you're in a good church that you can't relate to that, but there's a lot of churches around. The new birth is not even preached. Salvation in the blood is not even preached. Anyway, he said he screamed. And this happened more than once, but I'll fast forward to the point we're making here. He said he tried to slow his descent, and as he got down, he said some dark creature, put its hand on his arm to escort him on in. And he couldn't stop it. And he said a voice spoke from above. He said it was a man's voice. And he didn't understand it, but it shook that place. He said when that voice spoke, that whole place shook. And that creature took his hand off of him. And as this huge suction came on his back, and he just was sucked right out of there. Anybody know whose voice that might have been? Your Father's voice. Listen to this. The psalmist talks about this. He said, verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. You ever heard thunder? Ever seen lightning? Now, we've been around it a lot, so you get used to it. But it's awesome. I tell you, I've been up close and personal with it in an airplane. It's not where you want to be. It's just too much for any machine or any human body. It's just amazing. Amazing. And that is an expression of the God who made everything. He's bigger than that. He's more powerful than thunder. His voice is more powerful than thunder. His word is more powerful than lightning. He's awesome. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Anybody believe that? Say that loud. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Whew. One of these days, you're going to get to hear Him personally call your name. I don't believe it'll be like anybody that's ever called our name down here before. Did you know the Bible said God sings? He will rejoice over you with singing. Imagine you and I before the throne in the not too distant future. We're having a wonderful time. And the angel says, Father's going to sing. The Father's going to sing. You reckon He can hit some notes? How many like to have a CD of the Father's favorites? Yeah. Boy, you could crank that up in your car, couldn't you? There wouldn't be any music unless it was for Him. And He's going to sing. He laughs. Wonder what hearing the Father's laugh would be like. I don't think you could stay depressed hearing Him laugh. You think it'd make you want to laugh? Like you never laughed before. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calf and discovers the forest in His temple. In His temple does everyone speak of His glory. God deliver us from staid intellectual religion where there's no reality of our glorious God. We shouldn't be interested in rituals and routines and intellectual concepts about God. He's real. He's here. He loves us. He's awesome. Amazing. Majestic. And for those that believe it, and those that hunger and thirst to know more of it, and those that draw near to Him, what does the Bible say He will do? He will respond. He will draw near to you. And to those that diligently seek Him, they will find Him. And He will reveal Himself to you. He'll touch you. You ever had the Holy Spirit get in the chair with you? Get in the bed with you? Get in the car with you? Oh yeah, we're to walk by faith. We're not to be clamoring to feel something before we're going to believe. But that doesn't mean that we have to walk through life with no experience of God and no feelings and no nothing. That's just not true. It's not right. It ought to be like Jesus as He walked with the Father. It ought to be like the apostles in the book of Acts, right? As they walked. Did they see anything? Did they experience anything? They walked by faith, but they also had experience in the power of God and in the glory of God. Keep reading. In His temple does everyone speak of His glory. The Lord sits upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sits king forever. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Is there any connection to His people being strengthened and blessed with peace to what was just described. The power of the Lord and the glory of the Lord, are they disconnected, these verses, or do they flow together? And us being strengthened and us having greater strength and greater peace is the result of the flow of the previous. The glory of God, the majesty, the power of the voice of the Lord. Go with me, please, to the New Testament. Gospel account of Matthew. You know what? I'm not ready to go to Matthew. Go by Job. Job 37. I want to read this in the NIV. Job 37:21. You have to look up some of the original words to see why they translated it this way. But Job 37:21 in the NIV says, "Now no one can look at the sun, bright as it is in the skies after the wind has swept them clean, crystal clear sky. Can you look straight at the sun? You better not. Huh? Too much for your little eyes. Right? You damage your eyes. And how many know we're more than 4 or 5 blocks away from the sun? We are a long, long, long way from the sun and from here. From Cranberry. You can't look at it. Even though it is so far away. Because it is so brilliant and so bright and so powerful. Do you reckon the one who made it is as bright? He'd have to be more. Can you see why the Bible said no man could see God and live? No, Jesus said no man has seen the Father. You can't see Him in your natural state. He's too much. But we're going to get a change. Our body's going to be changed. Our eyeball's going to be changed. And we're going to be able to take Him in. He's going to give us ability to be in His presence. Hallelujah. Verse 22, out of the north He comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. Hallelujah. God comes like the sun. The sun is a manifestation of Him. The Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in His wings. Actually, the wings has to do with beams, sunbeams that radiate out from Him. There's healing in what radiates from Him. We get in the manifest presence of the greatness of God. You won't need a prayer. You won't need a confession. Did you hear me? Not that that's good and that's right. But in the strong enough manifestation of the presence of God, the enemies and the works of the enemy melt like wax. They can't stand in that presence. It's just too much for them. We get the presence of God strong enough in this place and in that new facility out there. No disease will be safe. People come into here, if they want to keep their disease, they better not come in. Because no sickness is safe around that power. No bondage. No mental deficiency and anguish is safe. See, Jesus, after, you know, the power of God came on Him after He was baptized in the River Jordan, and the Holy Spirit came and descended on Him. The Spirit of God is called the Spirit of glory. Then all He did after that, He walked into the synagogue. And demons that had been holding heyday in people's lives started screaming and hollering, "Oh no, 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 get away, get away, get away, we can't stand it. And You come to hurt us and torment, oh please, please don't hurt us, please don't hurt us." That's how bad the devil is. The only place he can flourish and work is in darkness, where people don't know who they are and God is not manifested. The glory of God was radiating out of Jesus so that people just come by and touch his clothes and healing would flow into them. Hallelujah. You say, yeah, but that was Jesus. Yeah, Peter just walked by people and his shadow fell on him. Peter. Right? Peter. Foot in his mouth, Peter. Reminds us of us. Right? God uses people just like me and you who don't know everything, but people who believe that God is everything this book says He is, which is beyond what we have thought or seen. Look in Matthew, and I believe see a key. Matthew 18. Unless the Lord directs me differently, this is what I want to be believing on. Will you believe with me this week for utterance and for all of us to lay hold of this? I've never preached exactly and taught exactly on this like we're doing right now. But I believe it's significant for me. I believe it's significant for you. I believe it's an answer to prayer. Anybody in here prayed and said, Lord, show us more. Take us into the next part. This, I believe this is it. This is a part of it. We don't just want more anointing. We don't just need more revelation. We don't just need more miracles. We don't just need more prosperity and stuff. Certainly we need some of those things. Our primary thing is we need to know Him better. We need to see more of Him. And be able to grasp more of Him. Allow Him to enlarge our insides. So that we can believe and comprehend the depth, the breadth, the length, the height. To know. That word know means experience. Somebody say experience. Experience. The love of God. God is love. Experiencing that love, you're experiencing Him. Thank you, Master. Matthew 18. Matthew 18:1. At the same time came the disciples to Jesus, and they said, they didn't know it, but they were really asking the wrong question. What they want to know? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Lord, could you settle something for us? We've had some discussion, and I think this, and Peter thinks this, and Matthew thinks he is, and Thomas doubts if any of us are. Sorry, Tom. Which one of us is the greatest and going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child. Everybody say little child. He called a little child to Him and He set him in the midst of them. And He said, verily I say to you, except you be converted, unless you turn and be changed and become how? And because He's talking to adults. And He tells them they need to change, be turned and converted, become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are things that are unchildlike and ungodly that hinder and keep people out of the things of the kingdom. He said, you got to change. Now, the specific thing He was talking to them was their ambition their desire to be great personally, their pride. That keeps you out. That keeps you from entering in. How many is willing to get rid of anything that's keeping you out or keeping you from entering in? He said, you got to be changed. You can't be talking like that. You can't be believing like that. You can't be asking me questions like that and do what you're desiring to get into. You got to be changed. You got to be turned and become as a little child. Everybody say little child. Little children. You should. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one of such little children in my name receives me. Receives me. He keeps talking about it all the way down to verse 10. Verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. And he's talking specifically about humility as a little child. Do little children think about being humble? Absolutely not. Humility is not what a lot of people think it is. In fact, there are Christians that are proud of how humble they believe they are. How does that work? A big part of humility is honesty. Big part of it. Honesty. And openness. And the Lord showed me this just recently. We got a bunch of little ones in our church. Churches. And they're amazing. They're wonderful. Wonderful. That's what we've been talking about all night long. Adults who've become skeptical and cynical. Did you hear that word? Cynical. Intellectual, negative. They lose that completely. And pride doesn't want to show anybody that I'm impressed. Pride, even when it's greatly impressed, will try to act cool and go, yeah, right. Yeah, I heard about that. A friend of mine had one of those. Yeah, and inside they're going, wow. Wow. But they would never just say, wow. Because they're too cool for that. You rather be cool? Or you rather know God? You rather be cool? And expressionless? Or would you rather touch the glory of God? Huh? Then you got to get converted. And when God speaks to you, you know what you got to do? You got to go. God likes it when you're honest. He likes it. The Spirit of God's the Spirit of truth. The Word's the Word of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Right? I mean, it's a huge part of God. And this, any falseness and put on is like a wall between us and Him. Because even though you might be think you're fooling some other folks, you're not fooling Him. Can't. And the problem is, this can creep in. You can be around other people who are doing it. And people are doing it in the world all over the place constantly. You can be around it so much that you're used to it. And people are so, they just don't even notice it anymore. They're so controlling of their expressions and their responses, and they're so analytical. I had a little girl, Phyllis and I and some others were walking through a place in the children's area, and they had painted some little animals on the wall for them. And she was just the cutest little thing, and she wanted me to hold her. So I'm holding her, we're walking through, and there was this little baby elephant. And she squealed and pointed to him. And just started laughing, just hilariously, laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And I looked at him, I said, "What?" She said, "He's silly. He's silly." I said, "He is silly." And I laughed with her. You find that adorable. You desire to hug that and kiss that, because that's how your Father is. And if we would act like His little children and quit trying to be such big britches, come on, are y'all with me? So smart, so Vulcan. People have imagined that if you really become spiritual, you become emotionless. You're completely in control of all of your feelings and emotions. Well, there's things you're not supposed to yield to. But the Bible said God laughs. God sings. God rejoices. And He's going to do something in your midst. And He's going to touch you. And He's going to speak to you. And you're going to sit there and go, That's quite nice. Very nice. Wasn't that nice? That was not who you are. I don't care if you've been that way for 50 years. It's not who you used to be, and it's not who you're supposed to be. Little kids, do not analyze everything. If it's funny, it's funny. And they laugh. If it's exciting, they squeal. And they shout. Huh? Yep. And if they're impressed, they go, practice with me, guys. They go, the Father loves this. I don't even know all the reasons why. I won't try to tell you that I do. But He loves it because it's real. And for those that really believe in Him, He will reveal more and more of Himself. I'm telling you, we're going to read about, the Lord lets me, in the next sessions, times, we're going to see Jesus operated in this. And the apostles and disciples in the book of Acts, they operated in this. They touched the amazing. They touched the marvelous. They touched the wonderful, the wondrous, the awesome. And you don't have to wait till you see anything to start doing that. You can start doing it right now, right here, before another minute passes. You can just decide the Bible's true and your God is awesome. He is amazing. He is glorious. And it is easy for Him to do something to cause you and I to go, And the more we believe that, and the more we're in the vein of that, we will have that. We will touch that. Glory to God. Oh, somebody say glory to God. Let's practice it right now. Stand up on your feet, everybody. Singers and players, if y'all would come, please, and just play something softly. Let's reach our hands up and our heart and our voices. Let's act like what we are. We're God's little children. Lord, we worship You. We adore You. We adore You. We adore You. We're in awe of Your splendor. Your magnificence is shown in the heavens. It's shown in the earth. It's shown in our own spirits and bodies. Your glory is amazing. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Speak in tongues and declare the glories of God. Tole maasto. Tole maasto. Je ali usiu caro monde fole magne. Magne. Oscunda waelo cohombie. Fishnian do ossia do. O se caro do vine alo hosnia. Sheko saregia. Sheko. Sheko sarembe gale do melambrave do velo. Dobre mandele brambaya koshon shoy. Jim de vale blambo de falo kombaro juye. O hasiando ki o sheru zubiduji. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can we sing How Great Thou Art? Y'all know that chorus? Then sings my soul. How great thou art. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. In saints,
sings my soul, my Savior God to me.
Oh, hallelujah.
How great thou art.
Oh, you're so great.
How great. Thou art.
magnify Him. Lift your voice and magnify Him. Worthy are You, my God. We worship You. We worship You. Oh, Father, we're so grateful. We are so grateful. We stand in awe of You. And Lord, we know that in these days to come that You want to do some things that take our breath away.